Going to the phone lines now. Talk to our good friend of the show for our weekly hit on all things Vanderbilt, Aria Gerson, Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. You can follow her on Twitter at @Aria_Gerson. So, Aria, first off, thank you so much for coming on. I hope your Thanksgiving was a fun time, which I know the answer to that is yes, because Michigan destroyed Ohio State.
They did.
Yes, that was for Devlin. But let's talk a little bit about the Vandy football side of it. 56-0 against Tennessee. Not great, but if you're looking at the whole scope of everything, five wins on the season for Clark Lea and his staff, this has been a great season.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, again, the preseason expectation was, you know, the over-under, as Bruno will, you know, say, was 2.5 wins. So even three wins was considered to be exceeding expectations. So five wins definitely exceeded expectations. And I think that, you know, they showed that they could compete with the teams that were outside that top tier, like outside the outside the teams that are like going to go to New Year's Six Bowls and things like that. They were able to compete with pretty much the next tier down of, and that's definitely an improvement.
This season, what would you put it on a grading scale of Clark Lea so far in his tenure with Vanderbilt?
This season, probably like a solid B+. I think the bad games were really bad, so that kind of, I think, clouds the overall aspect of it, and I think that's fair. But at the same time, I think if you surveyed people prior to the season and said, you know, would 5-7 finish be realistic for Vanderbilt, probably most of them would think that was a little bit optimistic. So I think that, including me, that's including me. So I think that you do have to look at it from that standpoint as well.
Talking with Aria Gerson, you can follow her on Twitter at @Aria_Gerson. What would you, doing that same question, but Clark Lea's entire coaching tenure so far, with the hire and then to today, where would you put that on the grading scale so far?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I still think it's probably in the B range. I mean, last year was pretty bad, but I think that last year doesn't matter nearly as much as this year matters, from the standpoint of you want to show a trajectory, and as long as the trajectory is upward, I don't know that how much it matters how bad last year was. So, I think that as long as it's moving in the right direction, as long as it can continue to move in the right direction, you know, that's important too. But, you know, I don't think that last year is particularly important at this point.
Do you think you'll have that same kind of answer for the, like, just the coming years? Like, will next year be just not the most important year for him because of the situation that he is, that if he stumbles one year, then people are going to immediately start calling for the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way that things are right now. You know, when it comes to recruiting and when it comes to convincing players to come play for you, the most important thing to show them is, you know, what have you done recently, right? So I think that's part of the nature of the beast, is that you want to be showing progress in some way. And, you know, I think at Vanderbilt, there's going to be cycles to some extent. You know, looking further down the road. Next year, I definitely think that there should be improvement off this year. But I'm, you know, just mathematically, it's impossible for a team to improve every single year, because at some point you do hit your ceiling. But same time, I mean, yeah, it's always going to be, the most important year is always going to be the next one, because if you stall out at some point, you're just losing momentum when it comes to being able to reload your roster and everything like that.
Vanderbilt beat writer Aria Gerson with the Tennessean. Bruno, what do you got for Aria?
Vanderbilt beat writer to the Vanderbilt beat 'em up guy, Bruno. Aria, it's kind of, is there some merit to the thought that maybe sneaking those two SEC wins at the end of the season might be like a double-edged kind of sword deal? So what if Vanderbilt, you know, only wins one SEC next year or two SEC and they end up five wins again, you know, and it's not necessarily the improvement. Do you think there's some merit to like sneaking those wins at the end of this season might tamper with expectations, reasonable expectations the next season?
Well, I think that it's definitely set the expectation higher when it comes to, I think the expectation next season is going to be to get 6 wins. But I don't think that's unrealistic based on, you know, where the program is at. So I think that, you know, if people were to come out and be like, oh, well, Vanderbilt needs to win 8 games next year. Okay, well, that's not realistic. But I don't think that it's unfair to expect for them to win 6 games and to go to a bowl next year.
Aria, Vanderbilt does do one thing that makes me question the future, and that's this whole quarterback situation. I do not like it. I do not like the doubles. And I think while Mike deserved the right to start and play for a long time in this Tennessee game because of what he did in winning those games when A.J. Swan was hurt, then you saw his clear deficiencies. I mean, it looks like he's throwing the ball as hard as he can, and it barely goes 10 yards with any velocity sometimes. And it's just like you have A.J. Swan on the sideline, and I have alumni texting me, and they're like, Swan's going to transfer. And I'm like, man, I sure hope not. What does Vanderbilt do with this quarterback situation? Because if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to have to be something that they discuss in the off season, because that is the thing, is that if you're not going to be the most players who are a quarterback who are at a school where they're not going to start, mm-hmm. they do transfer. So, you know, I'm not trying to say for sure that like any specific person is going to transfer, but they have to be upfront with all of the quarterbacks about what their status is, but they have to do that knowing that if you tell Mike Wright or somebody like that Swan is the starter going forward, that, you know, there's a pretty decent chance that he opts to transfer. And if he does, that's fair, because that's what quarterbacks do these days, is they transfer if they're not starting. So I think that, you know, obviously Swan's injuries complicated things, because it wasn't clear at the time how much he had practiced before the Tennessee game and how much he had been able to prepare for it, which I think was partially why they were going with Mike as long as they did. But I do think you kind of have to stick with Swan going forward at this point, because he's the one that they kind of already picked until he got hurt. And I think that you have to be honest with all of the people involved with that. And if the result of that, again, I'm not saying that it's going to be, but if the result of that is that Mike Wright decides to transfer, then you have to accept that. You can't really try to string them along if you already know what the decision is going to be.
Is Vanderbilt football as unique of a program as you've ever covered? Because when it comes down to it, we went to our first bowl game when I played there, and then Derek Mason got an offer from Cal and was, you know, basically telling us, like, you know, I'm getting all this money, or I could do this, but I'm going to stay or build a foundation. I was like, that's odd. We had a losing record, and he had a job offer. I see a national writer go out there. He's like, Stanford should go after Clark Lee. And I'm like, this is so weird. Like, five wins at Vanderbilt merits, like, a promotion. Is that unique to any place you've covered?
It's definitely unique when it comes to, you know, my previous experience being at Michigan, where they wanted to fire Jim Harbaugh for winning 9 games every year. But I mean, I think it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like Vanderbilt's been tagged as a place that's quote unquote hard to win. And anybody who does pretty much anything at any of those places, their name is going to come up, whether that is actually, you know, sometimes people are just throwing names out there and it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, that's what's going to happen when you win at places, even a little bit, that are considered to be difficult. You know, my My grandma is an Oregon State fan, and that's another school that's a similar way. Like, anybody who does anything there is, you know, going to be kind of hailed as a game changer. And they actually did win 9 games this year. But yeah, I think that's the nature of the beast with this job for sure.
Last thing I'll ask you, we got to watch Joe Milton run the ship, and the team did really well, but I'm still skeptical. Do you think Tennessee can – this is a little off – you know Joe Milton, so – but do you think Tennessee can replicate the success they have this season with him at the helm?
Yeah, my guess would be that Tennessee is probably best off looking for a transfer quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, who is going to be available in that aspect, but that would be my guess. You know, you saw it during the game. There were so many throws where the receiver was wide open, and Milton just overthrew him by, like, 10 yards. And it's like, I just don't totally see that being – I mean, they could win some games with him, but I don't think they could be, like, playoff contenders with him. And I think if they want to be at that same level that they are this year, that he's probably not going to end up being the guy.
Talking with Aria Gerson, covers Vandy for the Tennessean. Aria, what's going on transfer portal-wise? Because I know there's been some players that have, one, just not in the transfer portal, but saying they're going to go declare themselves for the draft, things like that. What's going on with the team in that fashion?
Well, the transfer portal doesn't officially open until December 5th, except for people who've already graduated. So we don't really know all of the people that are going to go in it. Some of the people have already said they're going to go, but it's just been a couple backups. I think Joel DeCourcy and Chase Lloyd and Devin Boddy Jr. are the ones so far who have said they're going to go in, and all three of those are upperclassmen who were not starters this year. So I think those are the types of players that you might expect to leave. There hasn't been anybody who declared for the draft who wasn't already out of eligibility. That was like, Maxwell Worship was out of eligibility. Jeremy Lucien is out of eligibility. So those people weren't going to come back anyway. But we'll start to see more of that next week. And, you know, it's hard to say, you know, who outside the people that have already gone in it.
You don't have any expectations of any of the bigger names, I guess you could say, that might leave and kind of leave a couple Vandy fans' jaws on the floor?
I mean, there will be people who will go in the portal for sure. I'm sure there will be a number of people, as that happens with every program. I just am not going to, you know, bring up specific names, because there's always, unless they say it, you know, there's always people who might be waffling. They might change their minds about entering, and I don't want to put names out there if it ends up not being the case.
Better to waffle than to pancake. That's what I always say. Bruno's just death staring at me at that joke now here inside the studio.
I thought it was interesting that I already said waffling. I've never heard that either. It was like when I heard Damian Woody say, "I'm going donkey on him." This is unique. I just didn't know how to react.
I just threw a dad joke at you, though, and I was just hoping maybe I'd get a chuckle. Just one, but I didn't get any of them. So,
hey, I'm like schizophrenic. Dad jokes don't work.
you got to take a couple swings, you know, if you're ever going to hit the ball. Let's real quick, before we get you off here, Aria, talk to me a little bit what's going on with Vandy men's basketball. 3-3 right now. How's the cooling period? It's been kind of some easy matchups for them these past couple games. How are people still looking at the head coach over there?
Yeah, well, they play VCU tonight. At VCU, which will be definitely an interesting litmus test, because in case you don't remember, they lost to VCU last year in a really, like, terrible avert your eyes game. So, you know, that's a game that they probably want to win if they want to build a resume. I do think that, you know, I will say that the loss to Southern Miss, while still bad, is not quite as bad as I think it looks, because they are currently 8-0 and they beat Liberty, they beat Winthrop. So, you know, those are a couple decent teams. But, yeah, I mean, at some point, they've got to win some games, some road games especially. I mean, they beat Temple. That's, you know, that's a good one to beat. But, you know, they got to do something at some point. And right now, KenPom only has them favored in 3 SEC games. Obviously, that can change. But, you know, you want to be a little better than that for sure.
Do you feel like people are kind of are back on Stackhouse's good side just because of those wins? Or because, I mean, I remember seeing some of the Vandy groups and things like that just immediately. I mean, Bruno and I talked about just immediately calling for his job after, you know, obviously the extension. But it seems like he's gone back and forth so much from hated to liked that it's like you don't even know where he is anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think basketball is different from football in that, you know, in basketball, sometimes random losses happen and, like, things happen and you kind of have to wait the whole season to see how the entire season turns out because sometimes, you know, there are teams that do badly in the non-conference and they do really well in conference play and it doesn't matter. So I think that, you know, it's important, like, there is some level of, like, having to just wait and see what happens during SEC play. So, but, you know, I think the fan base is going to react to every game. Like, every time they lose, you know, you'll see the fire Stackhouse comments, but you don't see that after they win. And that's why you have to wait on basketball. You have to wait until later in the season to really get a good idea.
Aria Gerson has been our guest. Follow her on Twitter at @Aria_Gerson, Vanderbilt beat writer for the Tennessean. Aria, we always appreciate having you on.
Yeah, thank you.
Aria Gerson. Good stuff from her. We got to run.